Tanya is a fictional character, but what they went through is happening across Northwest today. This is their story. In one of the most deprived constituencies in England, healthcare training places sit empty while wards operate dangerously understaffed, as Treasury spending limits block the connection between people who want to become nurses and hospitals that desperately need them. This is Tanya's story.
My name is Tanya, and I'm 31 years old. I grew up in Walkden, where my mum worked as a healthcare assistant at Royal Bolton Hospital. I always knew I wanted to work in healthcare, but it was watching my nan during her final years with dementia that showed me exactly what kind of nurse I wanted to be. The district nurses who visited were incredible. They had this way of seeing past the illness to the person my nan still was underneath. I keep her photo in my nursing badge holder now, even though I'm still not qualified to wear it. She believed I could do anything. After my A-levels at Cannon Slade School, I spent 3 years working in retail while caring for Nan. When she died in 2018, I knew it was time. The NHS needed people, I wanted to serve, and I had the grades and the drive to make it happen. It felt like everything was aligned. In 2019, I applied for adult nursing training through Health Education, England Northwest. The process was rigorous. Aptitude tests, interviews, essays about why I wanted to join the profession. I scored well on everything. My interview panel said I demonstrated exactly the kind of compassion and practical thinking they were looking for. Then came the letter. Despite your strong application, there are insufficient funded training places available due to Treasury spending constraints. I called the admissions office. The woman I spoke to sounded genuinely sorry. It's not about your application, she explained. We have more qualified candidates than places. There is no funding for additional training places this year. It sounded reasonable. Money was tight everywhere. I decided to wait and try again. I spent the next 2 years working as a healthcare assistant at Royal Bolton Hospital, thinking this would strengthen my application. Every shift reinforced why I wanted to qualify. We were chronically short-staffed. Qualified nurses were doing the work of two people. Patients waited longer than they should have for basic care. The ward manager, Sarah, pulled me aside one day. You'd make an excellent nurse, Tanya, she said. We're desperately short-staffed, but there's nothing we can do about training numbers. The places are controlled from above. In 2021, I applied again. Same process, same scores, same outcome. This time the letter was almost identical. Health Education, England's budget allocation, cannot support additional nursing places. I called again. Different person, same script. The budget has been set by Treasury. We cannot afford to run additional programs. That phrase stuck with me. We cannot afford to run additional programs. I started asking questions. At the hospital, I mentioned my rejection to a few colleagues. One of them, Mark, said something that made me pause. My daughter got turned down too. She's working in a care home now, waiting to reapply. There's three others from her year in the same boat. I started asking around. Within a week, I'd found three friends from school who had been rejected from nursing programs. All qualified, all determined, all told the same thing. No funding available. Then I heard something that didn't make sense. I was visiting Manchester Metropolitan University for an open day, still hoping to find another route into nursing. During the tour, the guide mentioned that they had 40 unfilled nursing places that September, 40 places that Health Education England had simply not funded, despite the university having the capacity and the equipment ready. But we need nurses, I said to the guide. Every ward I know is short-staffed. I know, she replied. It doesn't make sense to any of us either. The training places exist. The university is ready. Health Education England's budget was capped below our capacity. I asked to see the nursing simulation lab. It was extraordinary. State-of-the-art equipment, hospital beds with computerized mannequins, IV training setups, medication dispensing systems. Everything you'd need to train the nurses that wards like mine were crying out for. Half the stations were covered in dust sheets. When did you last use all of this? I asked. We haven't had a full cohort in 3 years, the lecturer said. The funding doesn't match the capacity. That was the moment everything shifted for me. I stood in that lab, looking at the empty training stations, thinking about my 3 friends working dead-end jobs while they waited to reapply for programs that would turn them away again. I thought about the patients on my ward, waiting for care that qualified nurses could provide. I thought about Sarah, my ward manager, saying there's nothing we can do about training numbers. The people existed. The training facilities existed. The need existed. The university was ready. The only thing missing was Health Education England's willingness to fund the places. But Health Education England's budget comes from the Treasury. And the Treasury is part of the government that issues the pound. I used to accept the excuse that there was no money. I hear it differently now. The government that prints the notes and mints the coins told me it could not find enough of them to train the people who were standing right there, ready to work. The real question was never about money. It was about whether the people existed, whether the skills could be taught, whether the facilities were available. They were. All of them. The excuse was not a fact. It was a choice wrapped in the language of impossibility. It is the same logic as a household that says, we cannot afford it, except a household does not issue its own currency. The government does. The limit was never the money. The limit was the willingness to spend it into the places and the people who needed it. I'm still working as a healthcare assistant. I'm still applying for nursing programs. But I understand now that what happened to me is not bad luck or unfortunate timing. It is the predictable result of a political system that treats government spending like a household budget, as though the institution that creates the currency could somehow run short of it. This is not just my story. It is happening in every constituency where people who want to serve are told there is no money for their training, while the wards they would work on operate short-staffed, and the facilities that could train them sit half-empty. The resources existed. The people existed. The choice not to connect them was political, not financial.
What Tanya experienced has a name: fake experts. This technique relies on citing economists or commentators who treat government budgets like household budgets, as though repeating this false analogy makes it true. It is like tobacco companies in the 1960s parading doctors who claimed smoking was harmless, lending scientific authority to a commercial fiction. Throughout Tanya's story, officials cited unnamed economic expertise to justify caps on nursing training places. Economists say we cannot spend more on health without causing inflation, they claimed. But which economists? The profession is divided. Many macroeconomists argue the binding constraint is real capacity, not currency. Economists say without naming them is an appeal to unnamed authority. The false experts treat a currency issue in government as though it works like a household, constrained by the pounds in its pocket. They ignore the basic fact that governments create the money before they spend it, not after. The proof is always the same, the idle resources. Tanya saw empty training stations in well-equipped facilities, unemployed people desperate to become nurses, and understaffed wards crying out for help. The UK government issues its own currency. It does not need to find pounds before it spends them. The real constraint is resources, people, skills, materials, time. And in Tanya's constituency, those resources were sitting idle. The resources existed. The people existed. The decision not to connect them was political, not financial. Bolton South and Walkden rank 17th out of 543 English constituencies on the English Indices of Deprivation 2025 from MHCLG. The constituency has 1,356 registered charities according to the Charity Commission Register for England and Wales. Total grants received were £23.6 million, according to 360 Giving Grant NAV. All sources are published at blockedbritain.co.uk. Blocked Britain tells the stories of people whose lives are shaped by the gap between what Britain needs and what its institutions choose to provide. Every character is fictional. Every situation is drawn from official statistics produced by Blocked Britain.